for the battle of the seasons.
Welcome back to another episode of We Are Challenged, where my pal Matt and I examine everything there is to examine about the MTV challenges. And this season, we've got Battle of the Seasons, as you all know. I think that we're on episode 4, if I'm correct. And God, this episode, I just want to say, like, it was a different spin on it. It was all kind of intrigue-based. It wasn't really challenge-based. It was all of the romance and all of the drama kind of heaped into one, so much so that there wasn't even time to put the final challenge onto the episode. So, Matt, what did you think about it all?
I would have liked to have seen an actual challenge because, well, we've talked about this before, about how they're going to need to get rid of teams at some point, but now they're doing a to-be-continued in the 4th episode, which is something you usually hold off until, like, the 8th or 9th.
For sure, yeah.
And, I mean, maybe we're going to have 14 players in the final. I just think that's too many. I mean, I guess they did have a lot of stuff because the, you know, night was going crazy.
Who wasn't going crazy? Okay, I was going to list this. Knight went crazy. Camilla went crazy.
Nani.
You went crazy.
Jemmy.
There was somebody else who went... Oh, yeah. Oh, of course, Nani went crazy. Yeah.
Eric and Devin.
Freak out.
Yeah. Okay, I have one question. And I think we've talked about this before, but... So is Knight officially the new Wes?
Okay, that was my kind of question to you, but I'm gonna say no. I think they're trying to make him be, or he wants to be that type of character, but I'm not. I'm really conflicted because I can't quite tell, in my opinion, and I wanted to hear yours, what if he's smart or if he's just an asshole. What do you think? I don't think he's as smart as Wes.
I actually like Knight, and I feel bad for liking Knight.
Okay.
I feel guilty for rooting for Knight. I think because I enjoyed him during New Orleans. I thought he was amusing, even though he was kind of a frat boy brat in some ways.
Yeah.
And in this one, he is amusing, and he is entertaining to watch. Obviously, the problem with Knight is that he's doing all these strategical moves, but some of them don't need to be done.
Yeah.
Like going after Nani at this point doesn't seem like a smart move. Like, she's part of your alliance. I understand the concept of wanting to, you know, break her or, you know, but you could do that in week 8.
Yeah.
When it's coming down to the teams going after each other, there's still, you know, they don't have to eat each other right now. Like, they're the alliance of four teams, they don't have to turn on each other at this point, and it's stupid to start that right now, I think.
And I think that's what made everybody so mad, I guess. And I think even Frank was really pissed about it.
Because Frank feels like he's built this, you know, solid alliance, and he has, and he doesn't understand why anyone would want to mess with that until they have to.
I think, though, I don't think he did it strategically. He kind of says towards the end to Trishelle, you know, I'm the smartest one here. I'm not stupid. Everything I do is for a reason. I don't believe it. I think Wes, that's why I think he's not really Wes. And as much as it pains me to say, I think Wes is a little smarter, and he knew exactly who to mess with. Whereas Knight just kind of wants to start crap, and I think it's good. I think there needs to be somebody like that who's really, like, annoying and an instigator, and he essentially caused the breakdown of the whole house. Like, everyone just went crazy. So,
okay, I have another question for you. So, ever since in episode 2, we kind of formalized what the alliance was, mm-hmm. of San Diego, New Orleans, Vegas, and Cancun,
mm-hmm.
Each episode there's like, the alliance is going to collapse because Vegas is doing this, or
yeah,
or Knight is doing this. Part of me feels like, no, the Alliance isn't really going, like, even though this whole episode was about how, because of Knight, that the Alliance is over, I don't think it is. Like, I feel like that's just, they're just trying to create tension, yeah, where everybody knows that whoever comes back, whether it's Fresh Meat, I mean, well, I guess, you know, if Fresh Meat comes back, then it'll be Fresh Meat against Brooklyn again, or Fresh Meat against St. Thomas, like, and that it's going to be the, you know, it's going to be those four teams fighting it out in the finals of one shape or form, unless, you know, one of the other teams can make a run of winning the become the power team for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like they're just, they might have realized that, oh crap, it's becoming really obvious that it's going to be a Cancun San Diego final, probably, maybe, and they, you know, with New Orleans losing, that they have to, or, you know, they have to create some drama. I feel like this is all just fake drama, that they're trying to, you know, make it seem like the outcome's not set, even though we all right. know it probably is.
I think I agree with that in a way. I think it's 50-50. I think 50% of it is perhaps made up either by them just to kind of create TV or by producers. But I also think, on the other hand, that they are so dumb that, like, they're an alliance that is just doesn't understand. And I have to agree, even though I really, like, can't stand Camilla's attitude, they don't know what they're doing. Like, I think they want to believe they do, but the whole people are just doing things to mess it up because they don't quite get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think they're still really young and immature, and they're happy about being there and in Turkey and having a good time. And I think for a lot of them, it's about having a good time. Whereas I think that the vets from before had done it so many times that although they did enjoy their time there, they were actually there for the money, you know? And people talk like these kids are talking like they are, but I feel like if I was in their position and I was in my, you know, young 20s and had a free trip with all these good looking people, it wouldn't matter if I won, you know? It's just kind of like super fun. It's like a really fun vacation. So I don't know. I don't know. I
think so follow up on Knight and the immaturity and all that. Is Knight playing a good strategic game in this sense, or is Knight playing a good strategic game in is Knight playing a good strategic game in the sense that he wants to win this season, or is Knight playing a good strategic game in the sense that he wants to be invited back?
Yeah, be famous.
I feel like maybe that's part of Knight's strategy, where he's like, well, I, you know, because New Orleans has been a long time before any of them got invited.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't know if the ratings were down that season or if it just, maybe they couldn't fit them in. Knight might just see this as his chance to start making money. Because even if you don't win, you're still getting paid. Like, you know, they always say, oh, if you finish fourth, you don't get any money. That's not true. You're still getting paid something because you're getting paid to show up. There has to be some sort of payment to get showing to show up. And so Knight might just see this as his chance to put himself into the regular rotation of challenge participants.
I don't agree because, he has made it, he's stated that he's only there to win Jemmy back and that's his only goal, yeah, which I think is kind of BS, but I don't think he wants to be on the show. I think he's like one of those guys that is in a position where, yeah, he's there, so while he's there, he's going to just create as much crap as possible, you know, like he's just going to have fun with it. And he's like that Canadian guy who was on The Bachelor. Do you
even know? Oh, I think I know. Yeah,
he was, you know, on the one.
Yeah,
he's on the Bachelor pad as well.
Yes, I know who you're talking about. I actually saw him at a bar in Toronto.
Yeah, me too. I've seen him at a few bars. But he, like, he didn't really want to be there, but he just was kind of like fun to have, you know. Yeah,
I have to say, I was like embarrassed that I recognized him because I was with a bunch of guys, and I'm like, oh my god, that's the guy from The Bachelor. And they're like, what?
He's funny.
Never mind.
So Knight we've covered. I think we need to talk a little bit about Nani's mental state. She is crazy.
I mean,
serious issues with men.
Was she adopted or was she? I'm trying to remember.
I think she's had some foster home stuff.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
I remember in Vegas, she found her
dad,
yeah. And her dad had another kid that was like a half sister. I think her dad was dead.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say she found him, but she found out what happened to her dad.
Yeah.
And I believe she found like a half sister.
Yeah.
As well. And so she obviously has some daddy issues, which explains dating Adam Royer.
And she even kind of referenced the Adam thing with that. We were all kind of waiting on the edge of our seats for her to say Adam, but yes. She said, "It's been so long since a man treated me like that," and which I doubt. I mean, if you have a pattern like that, you're going to go right back to it. But he didn't even do anything. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. They're just so, this is a crazy bunch. I think the top craziest girls, and they were all involved in that brawl, are Camilla, Nani, and Jemmy. And then...
Cameron was kind of, I guess, peripherally involved, didn't she? Or maybe I can't.
Sorry?
Oh, no, Kermory's gone. What am I talking about?
Yeah, she's gone, yeah. But Jasmine is another crazy one, but she somehow did involve herself.
I'm really starting to like Jasmine.
Me too.
It seems like every episode now she has, like, one line.
Yeah, she's the one-liner girl.
And, I don't know, I have this feeling that, like, I don't know, I have this feeling that if... CJ's smart.
Yeah.
He'll ditch Derek and Janae and just go to the final with Jasmine because and I feel like that's the if I was Brooklyn or St. Thomas or Fresh Meat, the play is to go up to Cancun, to go up to San Diego. Maybe not San Diego because they're a little bit tighter, but to go to all these other teams and be like, "Hey, you know what you should do? You should dump your team. Like you need to think. Maybe not this week, but maybe in 2 weeks. You need to like." And the funny thing is that if you know Cancun and San Diego and those teams keep winning the power team, they could set it up where you know they force. Half their team in because let's say San Diego wins the power team and Cancun tells them, okay, you're going to throw us in and then we're going to not make our decision as to who volunteers and you're going to pick these two teams. And of course, if I was San Diego, I'd pick the other two. I'd pick the ones that didn't agree to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're that smart to think ahead that way, but.
Well, I think we're seeing teams turn on each other, so I think that's going to happen. And the only thing that came up this episode that kind of showed otherwise was that whole outburst from Marie. Is that her name? Yeah.
Marie. St. Thomas?
Being all, like, defensive of her team. But somebody said, I think it was CJ? Somebody was saying, like, you've got to realize that people are very soon friends are gonna have to turn on friends, so you gotta just like keep your like stop having your back up about your particular team but I wanted to ask something that I feel like I missed. You know this whole part, so much happened in this episode, but you know that whole part with where they were kind of excluding Trey and what's her face and redhead girl?
I love how she's become what's her face to you.
He was saying that he was being left out of all the alliance talks and stuff.
But he's not in the alliance.
Why? Well, no, but what was that whole?
Well, I think what was happening was the Alliance of Four consults with Laura and Rob about about what's going to happen.
But not with them.
No, because I think they've given up talking to Trey. And right. Laura just does what Trey wants.
Annoying, yeah.
But so I think Marie and Rob are trying to be part of this, the alliance, or at least being periphery so that they don't get thrown in until, you know, it comes down to the final five teams. So I think, and I guess Trey feels like, oh, well, I'm not part of the team. I should be, I'm the smartest one here. I should be the one telling people what to do. Of course, you know, the rest of the other four teams are like, we don't want to talk to Trey. He's an idiot. And I agree.
Yeah.
Although, here's my thing. If I'm Laura and Rob, yes, you're kind of bartering to finish fifth and maybe squeeze up to fourth somehow. Maybe you can somehow get in the final. But what I don't understand is why couldn't they work with Brooklyn, work with Fresh Meat, and work with Vegas? Because Vegas is on the periphery, and just say, hey, we're the new four-team alliance, and let's get rid of San Diego. Because do you really want to go against San Diego in the final challenge?
Mm-hmm.
I know Ashley's not the strongest competitor, but she's the only really weak link on that team. And every other team has two weak links, I would say.
Yeah.
And that team, if they stay a solid four, and weirdly enough, I feel like Zach's one of the smartest people left in the challenge.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Because he does, you know, you look at him and you think, oh, he's an idiot. And he did some idiotic things in San Diego and said some ignorant views, but he knows
what's going on.
He knows what's going on. He's smart about playing people. He's smart about trying to control Frank. And Frank's smart too. Frank just gets drunk and does stupid things. And Sam, I think, smart, but she hasn't really gotten much airtime. Which may be smart, too.
Yeah. Well, we do need to discuss the one challenge.
It was called Don't Weigh Me Down.
Was what?
And it was essentially an alliance challenge. Where each you're holding up these ridiculous cages that get filled with rocks and... And the teams can pick which rocks go into whose cage. And, of course, they go after they went after Brooklyn first.
Yeah. And everybody kind of held their own well.
Yeah.
No one really kind of dropped the ball. But, of course, the big thing was this Big Easy. Holding it by himself, and which is pretty crazy. He annoys me. In the past, I was always rooting for him because he's sort of the underdog. But in this episode, he annoyed me. Well, for obvious reasons in the end, which we'll get to because I need to say my piece about what happened. But he was talking like as if I was getting ready for him to fail because he was being all like, yeah, bring it on. Like trying to be all like, that's what. And, but he did, he managed to pull it off, but he always talks like that. And then he ends up screwing it up. But, anyways, so he showed himself well. I have to say that also Jeanne really impressed me, cause she battled it out.
Yeah.
Who was the other person on the other end?
CJ. Yeah, it was CJ. Not Derek was doing the rock throwing.
Right. Oh, yeah. And then there was that whole thing with
Who were they going? It was Austin.
Well, what I'm remembering is Zach having trouble with Sam.
Yes.
Which was crazy because he looks like he could do that forever. But he was talking about how he was in a weird position. So I understand. And then in the end, it was Jeanne and God, why am I forgetting this?
CJ.
Oh yeah, who were they against? Who was the other team?
At the end, it was who do I have it down to?
They both lasted for a while.
It was Cancun, and I think I can't even remember. I think it was San Diego. No, it wasn't San Diego. It must have been Vegas. It was Vegas, wasn't it? I can't remember now.
Oh yeah, because it was Nani.
Yeah.
Nani and
Alton, right?
Alton, yeah. Okay. So,
but then I think, was it,
they both did really well.
It was who, and, there was some anger between the teams because after they targeted Brooklyn and Fresh Meat, there was supposed to be like an agreement where each team kind of targets like each other themselves, I guess, so that each team has the same amount of rocks. But, it seemed like they kind of I guess Vegas was thought that they were getting picked on. Each, and then San Diego felt like they were getting picked on. It seemed like each team was kind of getting and felt like, oh, it's not even. And
yeah.
Trishel and Frank started yelling at each other mid-challenge.
This is when everything sort of started to fall apart.
Yeah.
but I have to, the things that stood out to me were actually Nani kind of showing just in her face, like you could tell she put everything she had into that. You know, she looked like she had heart, and I have, like, I think that she's like somebody to beat in an actual challenge. If she can keep it together and not let night break her, I think she could really do well. She's crazy and strong and scrappy. But then again, of course, Jaune really impressed me. I was very surprised that they lasted longer than Alton, who's like a beast, and Nani. But anyways, so that was that challenge. And then the other intrigue of this episode was, of course, Big Easy and
Devin. The new couple, the showmance.
I'm going to let you comment first.
Well, right off the bat, that was the first scene we get. And I was like, I guess they were trying to confirm to us, no, this is actually a thing. It wasn't just kind of a... you know, a short-term little hangout, and they're both expressing real feelings towards each other, which I was kind of surprised at, but fine, you know, it's, you know, and then there creates some controversy, because Devin says something about how Eric is much younger than most of the guys she dates.
Yeah.
Which would imply that Devin likes the older men who
I think that
buy must her have with some... you know, gold, if you will, which Marie from St. Thomas, I'm sure, would love to get some tips on, because that was her, that's what she was going after in St. Thomas. But, okay, so I have a question for you. Yeah. Obviously, if you start dating someone new, you know, you're going to find out something about their past.
Yes.
If you found out that a guy you were dating was had dated somebody's significantly older or significantly younger, because let's be honest, you're going to be dating a boy and boys usually go for younger girls. Like if you had met, let's say you met like a 33-year-old guy and this last girlfriend was 19. Would that like be a break? Would that be like, I'm just walking away from this guy?
Okay. No, but I think that like, I can't really speak for everybody, but I think that the point isn't really that here. The point is that he asked her a question. She has essentially said she wasn't comfortable discussing it on camera or like in that situation, and kind of wanted to, because she didn't want him to have a weird opinion of her. She was afraid of how he'd react. Then he gets all crazy about it. That whole scene made me so mad. I was just like, and she said it right. And then Knight becomes a like, you know, talking, he talks to everybody, which is so dumb. Oh yeah, Dr. Phil. But he's right. I mean, she was right to say he's just saying that to find a reason to hold back and just be mad. And it's creating drama where there really truly is no drama.
Yeah.
And if that had happened to me, the real thing that I want to say, I mean, if I'd found out that there was some huge age difference in the past, I wouldn't care. But if the guy that I just started seeing had gotten like that with me in the first like week that we were seeing each other, and was just so upset that I wouldn't like tell the truth, or that he thought I was lying, which he wasn't, I would be out the door. I would just be so mad at that. I don't know. I wanted to just jump through the TV. It was weird and possessive, and
it was possessive. It was
made him look like such a loser. Like just looked so insecure.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised she put up with it. And then of course by the end they're like happily married again.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, Eric's trying to make this big deal, like, oh, she won't tell me the truth, but you can't expect someone you just meet to tell you every single thing about their past, in like the first week you've met. Sure, if they had been together for like 3 years and now he's finding out that, you know, she likes to date 65-year-old dudes because they buy her trips and gold and jewelry and stuff, I could understand him being a little creeped out that maybe she, you know, she's hid that from me for 3 years. But this is 1 week, you know, or 2 weeks, or even even a month.
It's like calm down. That would just reek of like too much too fast for me. And, you know, you're taking this a bit too seriously. But the weird thing is she seems to be too. I don't know. They're talking to each other as if they're going to be together forever. Which maybe they're a match made in heaven, but there was the scenes where they were like staring into each other's eyes. I was grossed out. I don't know. It's just gross. They're a weird couple together to me. She just seems like really strong, and he's just a big baby.
I think their romance is based on everybody in the house wanting it to be a romance.
Yeah.
And encouraging it. It's kind of, you know.
It's true, like, and
you,
everybody.
You see that university in dorms where people are like, "Hey, these two people should be together," and then they get together, but neither of them are really like they're not necessarily a good match. It's just they feel like they're a good match, so they try to make it a good match, and
that happens on vacations too.
Yeah,
you just feel pressured to like have that happen, and I don't know. Who knows? What do you think the chances are that they're going to last?
I'd say 2%. What about you?
And what? I think a little higher. I think they'll try. But
2.5%?
2.5. And then what about Jeanne and Zach?
I'd give them 50-50.
Yeah.
And the only reason I even...
Lowdown.
Like, that's hard to do. We haven't seen them in the last couple episodes, but... You know, with those types of relationships, it's you know, they're both good-looking people. They both seem to like each other. I'm still waiting for Ashley to go nuts.
Yeah, what's going on there? She's a non-character, as is Derek. They're like,
well, Ashley was a non-character in her season, so that might have been – that just might be who she is, you know?
They should do, like, Battle of the Non-Characters versus the Characters.
The boring team versus the exciting team. So there's a few other things I wrote down, just random observances. So there's Chet was wearing a Chet hat.
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't notice that.
And, which I didn't know if I was impressed with or just, you know. Dustin had the line of the week where... Turning lemons into watermelons.
Yeah, that was cute.
Which, I don't quite understand, but...
Sure.
And getting back, so, you know, just wrapping things up, you know, we get to the point where they, you know, Cancun picks fresh meat to go in. So now it's Devin JD against Camille and Eric. So one of the couples, you know, this couple's going home, but we get a, you know, to be continued. Were you as annoyed as I was when you saw the to be continued? Did you notice the time was running out and kind of saw it coming?
I was annoyed because it's not a cliffhanger. Like, it wasn't worthy of having a to be continued. Maybe I missed something, but what is so crazy about her volunteering to go in? They made it look like it was something important because everybody had this face of shock. But, I mean, it's her turn. Yeah. Why is it a big deal? I don't understand.
It might be a big deal because there's been several of the teams have refused to, you know, well, it's just mostly freshmen, have refused to basically kind of volunteer themselves to go in.
Yeah.
So who's going to win?
Well, the weird thing is that in the preview for next week, you see Devin and Eric crying together, and she's consoling him, which is weird, and to me makes me think that she isn't going home because it clearly looks like she loses. Like, they make it look very, very obvious. You know what I mean? Did you see the preview?
I did not see the preview. I think my recording cut out.
Well, there's a quick scene... there was a quick scene in the very beginning of the preview where it's at the challenge, like clearly the same night, and they're, he's crying and they're like holding each other and she's going, I know, baby, don't worry. It's, and I don't know. It was very weird because it just seems like they just gave it all away.
They do that though. So, I mean, you might think that they're trying to outsmart us, but in the past there has been ridiculous spoilers. So,
yeah,
it could just be a, just, you know, they're spoiling things and not being smart about that. I really hope that we at least get two arena battles done next week. So they don't have a second to be, they don't, you know, keep.
That can't happen again.
They can't, I mean, the problem is next week's going to be a very rushed episode because we're going to have the arena. We're going to go probably straight to, you know, the power team battle and then straight to an arena. It's going to be, there's not going to be much socializing time, I feel like, next episode. And that
it's going to be a challenge episode.
Yeah.
And, of course, they leave us on a to be continued on the challenge that you and I are most excited about.
And it looks like, oh, you know, I did actually, I think about it, I did see the preview. It was, there was something about, there was these, they were hanging over water and there's chairs that spun them in.
Yeah.
And it looked like Mackenzie might have gotten really hurt, but maybe that's just editing.
It looked like a fun one. Oh, yeah, you see TJ saying, TJ saying this is his favorite challenge or whatever so far, and he's, like, giggling.
Yeah. I hope it involves some sort of spelling bee or geography bee or...
I think that's probably what it is. I hope. No, might
not. Well.
Who knows?
Maybe math challenge? 5 times 4. 16. Nope.
Okay, is there anything else? There are lots of other things, little things that happened. I mean, Chet was kind of impressive to me when he stood up to CJ, even though I can't stand Chet. Dustin was impressive to me when he comforted Nani. He just seemed like a nice guy. So, a lot of surprises. I've turned on Eric.
It's funny because I've not turned on, I've kind of warmed up more to Eric as the season's grown on, but I mean, that's the thing. I got a question. How old do you think Eric is?
He looks young to me. I think he's older,
but
yeah, it's true. You're right. I don't know. Maybe he might. Okay. Considering the fact that he has been around for a long time, maybe 27.
So Fresh Meat aired in 2006.
Maybe there's a way.
According to this episode, this Wikipedia, Eric was 23 in 2006, which means he would be 29 now.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I think I'm going to turn on him then, because that would imply if he's 29, he can't be acting like a 19-year-old boy dating a girl who's, you know, if it's one thing if you're like 23, 24 and you're getting paranoid about some girl, I can kind of understand because maybe you've only had 2 or 3 major relationships, so you're not, like, you know, super ready for it. But when you're 29.
And you're still acting like that, yeah.
You need to kind of get over it.
Man up. Yeah.
I didn't realize, I'm just looking at this. This is, I'm just looking at the Fresh Meat cast. This was the first Fresh Meat cast. Is ridiculous. You got Kenny, you got DM, you got Evan, and you got Eric. I mean, this Evelyn, is that, it's a stacked cast.
They were the first ever?
Well, this is the first, like, there was the Road Rules, the Fresh Meat, the first Fresh Meat challenge.
With all the new people, and that was them?
Yeah, and...
That's crazy.
Yeah, they had I'm going to have to go back and watch that
that's
one.
That's the one where DM and CT hooked up, right?
No.
Oh.
CT was not on that season.
Oh.
I think they hooked up on the island or something. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah,
or the gauntlet or the duel.
Yeah.
One of the, like, get them all mixed up after a while. That sounds bad, but...
Anyways, we probably should wrap it up just and find this information and we'll bring it back next time. A lot happened and I think next week will be a bit better. What I was thinking of is that this episode was my type of episode, whereas next week will be your type of episode.
Yeah, I think so. I think that I like to see people,
fight.
Fight.
Physically.
Yes.
And I like to see verbal fights. So, anyways, thank you again for listening, everybody. And we are on Twitter, and you can email us and send us any comments, questions, topics you want us to address. Anything else, Matt?
No, I think I'm just anticipating next week's episode and hoping that it can go back on the upswing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna say I liked this episode, but it can get a bit more physical. So I think it'll.
I liked Knight in this episode. That's what I will say.
Me too. Even though he was
evil,
one of those guys that are annoying, he's still creating good TV, so good for him. Okay. Anyways, thank you again for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
See you next week. Everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season.